helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. When I was a young man just getting started in business, I was given a good piece of advice. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. The people I encountered would be less concerned with my knowledge and credentials until they saw how I lived my life included caring about them. This simple phrase has not only been shown true over my lifetime, but I've used it to help become very successful in my career. Now, as proof that there is nothing new under the sun, Jesus said something very similar in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 17, where he said, "You will know them by their fruits." See, it's not someone's credentials or even their reputation that gives you real insight about them, but what comes out of what they do, the fruit of their lives, that tells. Now, let's look at some of the fruit of those in positions of trust and profit in our lives today. Is that fruit sweet, juicy, and pleasant, or is it rotten and bitter? As we are already preparing for another election, perhaps instead of focusing on donkeys and elephants, we should be looking at the fruit of people's lives and their policies to help guide our decisions. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. Yes, this is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free, and I am glad you could join me today. You know, this idea of looking at people's fruit, I remember, this has got to be 12, 15 years ago now. I was working for a major corporation, and I was one of a team of systems engineers. We covered data centers for our customers across the eastern United States, basically everything east of the Mississippi. And we'd been given a new manager. Our manager had moved on. We got a new manager. And of course, as happens in corporate America, that manager meets with his new employees, right? And we did a lot of one-on-one meetings. And it was my turn, right? And we were sitting in an office. And he calls me into his office. And we're sitting across a desk and tells me a little bit about himself. And I tell him a little bit about myself. And then he asked an interesting question. He said, "So, do you have any questions for me?" And I said, "Not really." And he was surprised. And I told him, "So, you know, I could ask you a boatload of questions. I do actually have questions, but I'm less concerned with the answers that you would give me here than what I would see in how you did your job. So I kind of want to wait and see what you do before I start asking questions about you and your processes." It was interesting. I saw him sit and think for a while. He says, "Okay, I guess I understand." And well, our meeting was over. And I didn't think about it again until, his 1-year anniversary. Literally 1 year after he had taken the job, he calls me up and you know what he asked me? He says, "Paul, how have I been doing? Do you have any questions for me now?" He remembered the question, that I wanted to see what he did that was more important than what he would say. And apparently it made an impression of him that he wanted to get back to me and see how he had done. Now, over that year, he'd done a pretty good job. I would rate him as one of the better managers that I've worked for. I wouldn't say he was the best. He was nowhere near the worst. And like everywhere else, you had good and bad. But by taking the time to look at what he would do rather than simply listening to what he would say, we ended up, I think, with a pretty good relationship, and I think we had a pretty good time together as we worked on the same team. Now, what does this have to do with people in positions of trust and profit in the United States, in our states, in our counties? Well, we're kind of in the same boat, right? As we're coming up to election, people are asking us to decide to vote for this person or that person based on what they say. I've learned over the years that's not really the best way to decide if a person's personality or the policies they support are the best ones, not based on what they say. I want to base it on what they do. And that do, I believe, is it, it not only is it unique, I don't hear it very often, because I know when I ask people, it surprises a lot of them. For example, as again, we're coming up to an election season. I'm sure I'm going to have several people over the next year and a half, ask me for their vote, ask me if I'll support them in their bid for whatever position they're running for. And I will always start with the same question. I've told you it before here. Can you show me where you fulfilled your oath to support the Constitution of the United States or the state of Tennessee when it cost you something? In other words, I don't want to hear your party platforms. I don't want to hear your promises. I don't want to hear your rhetoric. I want you to show me what you have done. Now, what's interesting is I kind of revised my numbers. Right now, about 95% of the time when I ask that question, the answer I get is generally either some soundbite answer, some prepared remark, some party platform plank, not really them. In other words, they're telling me to trust their credentials, but they're not showing me where their fruit is any good. Now, about 2 or 3% of the time, I will get somebody that said, "Hey, I raised my right hand, I took an oath, and I went. I fought for this country. I joined the military, or I entered law enforcement, or even fire service. I did something to serve my community when it cost me something." I'll give them a try. I mean, I can't say that it necessarily cost them something, right? Because if you're in the military or law enforcement or fire service, it's a job. You're getting paid for your time. That doesn't necessarily mean it cost you. Now, if you went and actually fought overseas, absolutely, it cost you something. So people in that position, I give kind of a, I'll give them a chance, especially if they don't have a voting record to stand on, right? If they've never served before, they said, "Listen, I've not been in these in an office. I don't have a record that you can look at to see how my policies have held up. But I did this." I'll give them a try. I'll treat them kind of like not quite ripe fruit. Right? I'm not saying they're good. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm saying they need some more ripening to find out they're any good. So I'll give them a try. It's very rare, though, that I will find somebody that can say, "Yes, I supported this bill verbally, vocally, publicly, even though my leadership was against me. My leadership bullied me not to," and vice versa, right? I was opposed to this bill, even though my leadership pushed me, my political party pushed me to support this. I stood and said and gave my answer, not based on what the party was asking for, not based on what the leadership was asking me for, not even what my special interests and donors were asking me for, but because there's a constitutional issue that I either had to support or oppose. Those are very rare. Personally, I would like to see that change. I would like to see a day and age when we can ask our people, our elected officials, "Can you show me where you stood?" And they said, "Yes, and here's an answer." And then I can look, okay, was that a positive? In other words, was that good fruit? Or was that bitter fruit? We're not there yet. Well, I'm there. I'm just pretty lonely at the moment. So I'm hoping more and more people will join me as we do this. I want to take some time today, now that I've explained what I was talking about, and look at some examples where we might want to look at the fruit and be really look at the fruit itself, right? Let's imagine you're going to the grocery store. And I don't know about you. I do the shopping in our family. So when I head to the produce section, I'm looking at, when I'm looking at fruit, I'm looking at the quality of the fruit, right? People look at me strange when I start, sniffing strawberries or sniffing tomatoes or, and I've even had people like, "What are you doing?" It's how I tell if it's good. If it doesn't smell like a strawberry, it's not going to taste like a strawberry. If it doesn't smell like a tomato, it's not going to taste like a tomato. If this person's policies don't smell like liberty and freedom, they're not going to taste like liberty and freedom. So let's take a look. And of course, right now there's a big conflict going on between Representative James Comer and FBI Director Christopher Wray. And I mean, there's quite a public battle going on here. The latest version has to deal with the release of an unclassified document. So there's a form called an FD-1023, and it's got information, as I understand it, it's the notes of an interview. So when, and again, I'm not an expert on this, but if my memory is correct when dealing with other situations, the federal law enforcement fills out a 1023 to report some sort of interview, some interaction they've had with a suspect or somebody as part of an investigation. Now, these documents are not classified, but there's a whistleblower. There's this particular 1023 contains information that, let's say, Joe Biden and his family have committed crimes. Right? I'm being very careful for a reason, because there's a lot of accusations floating around. Now, why am I being very careful? Well, let's face it. Neither side of this particular drama has fruit that really smells all that well. You see, on the one side, you have James Comer and the House Oversight Committee. Now, I say their fruit doesn't smell very well because a lot of what they're investigating seems more like a political investigation than an actual legislative one. Remember, Congress is a legislative branch. They hold the legislative power. They don't have the power to charge people with crimes. They don't have the power to investigate crimes. They don't have the power to even try a crime. The only power they have is the ability to make law and to impeach federal officials. And as I've said, in all these investigations, I have yet to hear someone mention, we're doing this in preparation of an impeachment. Right? So this has a lot of a political smell to it. Now, on the other hand, you have FBI Director Christopher Wray. And let's just say the FBI that he's been running, they don't come off smelling like a rose either. They've apparently been used to censor information that the swamp, the Washington, D.C. doesn't like. They've been used to intimidate pro-life activists. They've been very hesitant to investigate crimes against pro-life and organizations. They don't come off smelling very well either. So in this fruit basket of this situation, we have neither side with very good smelling fruit. So where we sit right now, or at least as of the last I've seen, is the House Ways and Means Committee have issued a subpoena for this 1023 document, this specific 1023 document. Problem again, where does Congress get its subpoena power? See, if you look in the Constitution, it says nothing about a subpoena. But again, we've also got due process. So the idea that the idea of a subpoena is it's a superior ordering an inferior. The problem is the FBI doesn't work for Congress. The only power Congress has over the FBI is the power of the purse and the power of impeachment. So they've issued this order, which if my experience with federal subpoenas is anything to go by, they commanded Director Wray to provide this document, and Director Wray has refused. Now we're getting into the point of Comer saying he wants to hold Director Wray in contempt of Congress. Now, I find this a little interesting because, well, I hold Congress in contempt all the time. I think the acts of Congress are frequently contemptible. But, of course, we're talking about an actual charge of contempt of Congress. Now, I did a little bit of research. I'm not a lawyer, right? But I did search the phrase contempt of Congress in the United States Code at uscode.house.gov, and I only found it in reference to the Senate. My guess is it's just worded a little differently for the House. But yes, if in the Senate, if a person fails to respond to a Senate subpoena or order, they can be the contempt proceedings, as I understand it. First, the committee votes on it, then it goes to the whole House. But again, what are they going to do with it? It's a civil suit. It's not a criminal suit, as I understand it. Again, not a lawyer, don't pretend to be one on TV. But as I look at this, I see primarily what we would call a pissing match between leaders in two parts of our government. The FBI is part of the executive branch, and the House Oversight Committee in the legislative branch. Now, there's actually another twist to this I want to bring up, but before I do, I have to take a break. But I want to remind you, you know, I've set up this little side hustle I'm working on called the CyberAngle WordPress Monitoring and Management. And what I'm doing is I'm working with different patriot groups and nonprofits and others that they have a WordPress website, but they don't really know how to deal with the care and feeding, how to monitor it, how to keep it healthy and working. If people want to find out more, they can contact me through the website, constitutionstudy.com, find out more about the type of things that I do. And all of that, of course, helps keep the lights on so I can keep doing this stuff here at the Constitution Study. And well, speaking of the Constitution Study, I hope you'll head to the website, constitutionstudy.com. You know, I've got a book. I created a book, a 30-day devotional for the Constitution. That's actually the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Because a lot of people tell me they'd like to read the Constitution, but it's too big, it's too complicated, they can't keep track. Simple. 30-day devotion. You read a couple minutes a day, and in 30 days you've read the entire Declaration and the Constitution. They can find both digital and paperback versions at the website. Again, go to constitutionstudy.com, look under books and more. But since you're an America Out Loud listener, you listen to the Constitution Study here. If you want the paperback version, use the code OUTLOUD and I will ship it to you free. Right? I'll pay for the shipping if you use the code OUTLOUD and only from the books that I sell on that website. So give it a check, you know, give it a look. If it's something you're interested in, hey, use the code OUTLOUD and get free shipping. I'd also like you to check out HealthyCell.com. They are a leading innovator in supplements designed to work at the cellular level. One of the ones I use is called REM Sleep. It's the only sleep supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep. So when I'm on the road, I often have a hard time sleeping. So I will take one of these before I go to bed. It helps you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, so I can wake up refreshed and ready to go. Now, since you're an America Out Loud listener, Healthy Cell will give you 25% off your first order if you use the code Out Loud at checkout. So please, go to HealthyCell.com, check out any of their great products, put your cart together. I like the REM Sleep, I use it. Use that code Out Loud at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Did you know that doctors and nurses have been swabbing their noses with povidone iodine to protect from airborne threats like colds, flus, and pandemic-era strains for decades? Cofix RX took that idea and made a more complete nasal formula with lasting cleansing effects. Maybe you're traveling soon or going to an event. Are you concerned somebody nearby might be sick? Maybe the office or classroom stresses you out. Get yourself a bottle of Cofix RX nasal solution. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at CofixRX.com.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans, to rejoin the Constitution Study. And today, we're asking what people's fruit smells like. What is, you know, we shall know people by the fruit of their actions. And what does that look like? Now, before the break, I was talking about the current brouhaha between Representative Comer and FBI Director Wray about this 1023 form. Well, there was an interesting twist that came out recently. See, Representative Ann Luna from Florida tweeted, quote, just left meeting for House oversight. The FBI is afraid their informant will be killed if unmasked based on the info he has brought forward about the Biden family. Now, all right, again, we're looking at the fruit. What does it say? Now, all right, let's start with a couple things. If Representative Luna is correct, that, you know, if this is what was said in that meeting, that oversight meeting, right? I don't know her, so we'll assume what she's saying is true. Does that mean that the FBI is afraid that someone's going to kill this person if they provide the 1023 document, because it's going to identify who was being interviewed, who made these statements? All right, that says, to me, that says one of two things. One is, it says that the FBI believes, if this is all true, right, which is, and we're talking about Washington, we're talking about politicians, that's a big if. But if this is true, that the FBI is afraid for their informant's life, who do they think is going to come out and kill their informant? Do they think the House Oversight Committee is going to do it? Do they think some radical activist is going to look at this and use this as an excuse to murder this witness? Or if, as Ms. Luna is stating, is correct, because of the information that he, you know, based on the information he's brought up about the Biden family, is he afraid the Biden family would have this guy killed? I mean, just think of the rotten stench of fruit that comes out of this whole concept that an informant in that this informant would have their life endangered for testifying what you would hope would be truthful information. Again, we know them by their fruit. We don't know who this is. We don't know. I mean, I've heard reporting that this is a person who has had credible information in the past. I've even heard reporting that this person may have documentation to prove their point. But I have to say, the fruit doesn't smell very good if the FBI, has this informant and is unwilling or unable to protect them. Now, granted, the FBI is part of the executive branch. The president is the head of the executive branch. It is not inconceivable that a corrupt president could have something happen to him, or that a family who's with some of the allegations that have been made against them might find a way to eliminate some danger. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm not saying it would happen. But it also says a lot about the FBI in that they don't believe they could keep this informant safe. Again, that has a serious smell issue, right? Because if they can't keep informants safe, if whistleblowers or other informants are not protected, it really makes it harder for future informants to come forward, because they're putting their lives in jeopardy. Now, the committee chairman, James Comer, Representative Comer, issued a statement saying that the FBI has confirmed that the unclassified FBI-generated record has not been disproven. All right, there's already a smell to that as well. Remember, because I said a lot has to do with it, with proof. See, it's not, they're not guilty until proven innocent. This record is not considered true. I should say evidence needs to be proven before it's disproven. In other words, from a criminal standpoint, if this is correct, we're talking about criminal charges against anyone in this country, the record doesn't simply have to be disproven to have charges. You actually have to prove this record true to have charges. You're innocent until proven guilty. And again, they say this is a trusted, highly credible human informant. They've operated with the FBI for years. There's a lot of spin going on in all of this. And that's why I want, from your standpoint, to say, maybe this fruit isn't as fresh as some in the media have been saying. Maybe it's not as rotten as some of the media have been saying. But I certainly would not be rushing home to make a pie out of this fruit, because as I look at it, there's still a lot of spin going on from others, from both sides. There's not a lot of, the fruit I'm seeing coming out of this is not as pristine as some would lead us to believe. Now, personally, I try hard to avoid guilt by association. But as I said, the FBI is part of the executive branch, is part of the Biden administration. And let's just say the Biden administration has been known to, say, bully and intimidate people they disagree with. Well, here's the latest example. Out of my home state of Tennessee, the Biden administration at the end of March cut off Tennessee's Title X funding because they don't like the way the state's Department of officials have been using it. See, after the Supreme Court decision in Dobbs, you see, Tennessee had already passed a law that would basically ban all abortions in the state, with the exception, I believe, of the life of the mother, or life or serious physical health of the mother. And then once the Roe v. Wade was overturned, then, well, this law went into effect. So the Biden administration decided to cut the Tennessee's Title X funding, which is family planning funds. By the way, this, as I understand it, is an contravention of both federal law and the rules set up by the Department of Health and Human Services. Not really a surprise. So the, was it $7.1 million that was supposed to go to the Tennessee State Health Department last year from the feds didn't show up. And this is being reported by KFF Health News. Now, what's interesting is two Department of Health and Human Services officials wrote to Tennessee back on March 20th, where they said, continued funding is not the best interest of the government. Now, there is so much spin in this, I feel like I'm in a top. So let's back up for a second. First of all, federal Title X funding is fraudulent. It's unconstitutional. It's illegal. Right, because nothing in the Constitution authorizes Congress to spend money for family planning. Therefore, the law that created Title X, this part of Title X, was made not pursuant to the Constitution. It is not the supreme law of the land, and in fact, it is void, which means all this money has been fraudulently spent anyway. Not a surprise. Then again, you've got Tennessee here and many other states that are accepting this bribe. This is a bribe. This is the federal government saying, we will give you money if you do what we want. And proof of the bribe is right here. Tennessee said, we're not going to do what the current administration wants. All of a sudden, the continued funding is not in the best interest of the government. Oh, see, they keep telling you it's for the people. It's not for the people, ladies and gentlemen. It's for the government. So this whole thing stinks of a rotten fruit basket. You have money extorted by Congress, fraudulently spent on something they're not authorized to spend money on. Paul, it's the general welfare clause. It's the general welfare of the United States, not the several states. Capital U, capital S, proper noun. The same proper noun used in the 10th Amendment that says, if we don't tell you you can do it in the Constitution, you can't do it. Right, so you've got all that in there. But then you have the Biden administration using basically this illegally obtained money to bribe people into compliance. Do what we want or we're taking this money away from you. You see, the Biden administration, well, they just simply changed the rules. Now, the Biden administration is supposed to enforce the law, not make the law. So you've got the Congress either is ignoring the fact that the President of the United States, through his administration, is taking the role of legislative power from Congress to change the rules, or the Congress did such a piss-poor job of writing these Title 10 laws that the President can grant money to whoever he wants, under whatever rules he wants. That's pretty smelly, too. So you have the state officials are saying they have a choice, obey the law and forego their Title 10 funding, or take the money and hope the state doesn't prosecute them. But they're only in this mess because they accepted the Title 10 bribe to begin with. This Title 10 funding is nothing more than a bribe. It is offering money to coerce an outcome, to change a person's mind. And that's exactly how it's being used. And this smells to high heaven, ladies and gentlemen. And we shouldn't be surprised. You see, what's interesting is reading an article in the New American that says, constitutionally speaking, they should not be placed in such a quandary. And I absolutely agree. As the author writes, the Supreme Court rightly devolved responsibility for abortion regulations to the states, and the federal government has no business doling out health care dollars. But if Washington is going to fund health care anyway, it ought to do so without imposing an ideological litmus test, particularly one that offends the conscience of millions of taxpayers or on recipients. I'll back that up one more. I'm sorry, the author was Michael Tennant. The fact that the federal government spends money on health care in violation of the Constitution should be the end of the discussion. Title 10 should disappear. And the states should run the programs that they believe are necessary, and they should fund them themselves. The fact that the federal government can use this to coerce the states is a function of the states taking the bribe as much as it is as Congress offering the bribe. There are two guilty parties here. Now, the question is, within the state of Tennessee, we're going to stand up for what's right and forego the bribe, or are we going to capitulate to the intimidation, accept the bribe, and follow these illegal mandates? We're still waiting to see. Now, here's another one coming out of the Biden administration. Now, Joe Biden has been pushing hard to electrify everything, right? He wants electric vehicles. He wants wind and solar, they want to limit or get rid of gas ranges. They want people to use electric everything. And one of the key components of this are batteries. You need batteries because the wind doesn't always blow. The sun doesn't always shine. It's the only way to get mobile devices to work is with batteries. And a key component for batteries is a mineral called nickel. Now, right now, most nickel is created overseas, especially, by the way, in Chinese mines, either in China or Chinese-controlled mines in Africa. So there's been a big talk about, let's move some of that mining into the U.S. because then we can control it and we'll have more of a North American supply chain. So that's what he says. Remember, we're talking about deeds, not words. See, he says that President Biden says he will support American mining, American production of these minerals. Now, in Minnesota, there is a New Range Copper Nickels North Met mine. And they were going to mine nickel in Minnesota. They got a permit from the Army Corps of Engineers. They had an approved permit. That was, by the way, suspended by Joe Biden's Environmental Protection Agency back in March of 2021. Well, guess what? Just this past May, the Army Corps of Engineers says, you know what? We think that this would violate water quality standards, and we're going to deny the permit. All right, now we have to start with the fact that water quality is not a power delegated to the United States. You try to call it interstate commerce, but they're not regulating commerce. They're regulating water quality. But that's okay. We've got the EPA, which, again, doesn't legally exist because environmental protection is not a power delegated to the United States. But again, look at the words of Joe Biden. We need more quote unquote green energy, which by the way, is not very green. We need more wind. We need more solar. We need more batteries. We need to build all of this stuff here in the United States. But as soon as we try to do so, his administration gets in the way and stops it. So that's why I say it's important to listen to what people, watch what people do rather than listen to what people say. You see, Joe Biden and his administration says they want to be able to onshore more of this production. They want a North American supply chain for these critical minerals. We want to do this here, but we're not actually going to do it. When it comes time to actually do something, then we're going to get in the way. Now, if this were my manager, I'd be saying, listen, you talk a good game, but your actions stink. And I want us to think about that because, again, we're going to be choosing. We're going to be choosing a lot of state positions. We're going to be choosing all the members of the House of Representatives. So you're going to have your House rep. You're going to have possibly a senator that you'll be voting for. And you're going to be advising your state through the presidential electors of who to vote for president of the United States. If you really want to have a North American supply chain, do you want someone that says they're going to support a North American supply chain or one who does actually support a North American supply chain? If we look at what people do rather than what people say, maybe we'd actually end up with better outcomes instead of just a lot of empty words and rhetoric. Now, I'm coming up to another break, but I want to remind you, you know, I go to AmericaOutloud.com every day. Personally, I have news feeds set up for them. I get news feeds on my reader. One of them comes from America Out Loud, and I do it for one simple reason. I'm looking for the latest news and happenings from sources wherever I can find them. And America Out Loud is a great source for this type of information. But it's not enough for me simply to read these, and by the way, it's not enough for you either. So please, go to AmericaOutloud.com every day, but take the stories, the articles, the videos, the podcasts, and share them. Share them with others, share them online, share them with friends and family. See, that's the work that needs to be done if we wish to get to live in the land of the free, and if we wish to secure our blessings of liberty.
AmericaOutloud.com. If you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought, working hard to earn your trust for 7 incredible years and counting. America Out Loud Talk Radio, the liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Welcome back to the Constitution Study, Everyday Americans. Today, we're talking about looking at the fruit of someone's actions rather than, well, simply what they say. Now, we've focused a lot in the, you know, about government actors in the last couple of segments. I want to look at some others as we are closing out the program. Now, the first thing I want to look at is, well, I call them corporate media. Call them whatever you want, But it's this group of the media we used to trust all the time. Now, there's a group of organizations, including Reuters, the Associated Press, the BBC, and others. They created what they called the Trusted News Initiative. And right now there's a lawsuit against them saying they violated U.S. law and they colluded with each other to suppress information. Now, this coalition was formed back in 2020 with a stated purpose of stopping harmful disinformation, myths, and fake news. At least that's according to the BBC. Jessica Cecil of the BBC, who formerly headed TNI, described the coalition as cooperation between tech and media, that the work included practical ways to choke off alleged false information from sources that aren't part of the group. So with all the history we've had of big tech censorship, are we really surprised that corporate media is suppressing information that they don't like? They say alleged false information. But then again, TNI has taken accurate and possibly true information and simply labeled it false, including things like the possibility that COVID-19 originated from a lab in China and others. Now, in a quote from the lawsuit, quote, "While the Trusted News Initiative publicly purports to be a self-appointed truth police extirpating online misinformation, in fact, it has suppressed wholly accurate and legitimate reporting in furtherance of the economic self-interest of its members. The TNI did not only prevent internet users from making these claims, it shut down online news publishers who simply reported that such claims were being made by potentially credible sources, such as scientists and physicians." Now, according to the group that filed the lawsuit, the coordinated suppression of competitors out of economic self-interest is a violation of the Sherman Act. Now, who are these people that are suing? Well, one of them is Children's Health Defense. They and the founder of Gateway Pundit website say they've lost millions of dollars due to the censorship they've experienced by TNI. Now, again, at this point, it's a lawsuit. There are a lot of allegations, but I believe there's sufficient information to believe that, let's just say, corporate media and a lot of social media, their fruit doesn't smell very good. We've already had examples of FBI working with Twitter to suppress information they knew to be true, but they didn't like. We now have an allegation that a group of media outlets, both tech and corporate media, have colluded to suppress information that might be damaging to them economically. Granted, that's just an allegation so far. And I don't know much about the Children's Health Defense. I did read some articles from Gateway Pundit, but they claim they've lost money from this. This doesn't smell very good. But it brings me back to an interesting question. I don't have a problem with these organizations suing for a redress of grievance. That's a right protected by the Constitution of the United States. What I find interesting is how many people are simply leaving it at that? How many people are learning just how smelly the content out of corporate media has become, yet they still consume it day in and day out? I mean, it's like walking up to a trash bin, seeing a rotten piece of fruit, going in and eating it, getting sick, and then going back the next day to do the same thing again. Now listen, you watch whatever news outlet you want to watch. That's the beauty of a free country. But I recommend that you look at the quality of the content they put out, not their taglines, not how pretty their news anchors are. How accurate is the information they're putting out? Test it, check it, find it, and find out if their fruit is worth anything at all. And if it's not, stop following them. Stop paying attention to them. Stop giving them rewards for serving you bad fruit. Now, there's another group I want to look at. See, there's a teachers union in Oregon, and they've got an idea. They're considering putting a task force together. And what do they want to do? Well, they want to decide whether or not they want to charge Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities a lower membership dues than everybody else. Why do they do this? Well, the Oregon Education Association Board of Directors discussed a proposed policy which would create the task force that would oversee the creation of progressive dues structure for members. Based on what? The proposed policy would cut the cost of dues for these BIPOC, quote-unquote BIPOC teachers, until the amount of BIPOC educators matches the racial breakdown of students served. So you have the Oregon Education Association saying, yes, we are racists. Oh, they're trying to say they're not racist, but they're racist. They're not looking for the best teachers. They're looking for the best teachers of color. In other words, they care about a person's skin. Think about it this way. The children that are being served, right? They're worried, oh, well, you see, the number of teachers has to match the student breakdown, right? So you're willing to take, say, a teacher that is more qualified, and you're willing to have them lose their job for someone who's less qualified because of the right color. Now, granted, they're not talking about firing them. They're talking about discounting dues. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure Oregon is a forced union state. It is not a right-to-work state, which means if you want to be a teacher in Oregon, you have to be a member of a union. And I don't know what the choices are. But this is the Oregon Education Association basically saying, if you don't meet some racial discrimination, some racial scenario, we're going to discriminate against you. Just imagine if, say, in Selma, Alabama in the 60s, rather than telling blacks they had to sit at the back of the bus, they simply charged them more for riding the bus. I don't know what a bus ride cost in the 1960s. Let's say it was a quarter. Just pick a number. If we turned around and said blacks pay 50 cents, would we stand for that? That's exactly what they're saying here. The Oregon Education Association says, listen, we're racists. If you want to be a part of us and you're not black, indigenous, or other persons of color, then we're going to charge you more. How does that smell? What's the condition of that fruit? And I have to ask you, if you live in Oregon and you're a teacher, why would you be a part of this organization? Even if you're a person of color, why would you be a member of this racist organization? Well, they're going to give us more jobs. And they're telling your children they don't deserve the best teachers. They deserve the racially associated, apportioned teachers. Now, believe it or not, not all the fruit is rotten. So we like to focus on the rotten fruit because it gets a lot of attention. But I want to point you, not all the fruit is rotten. But for example, Florida recently passed a law, and they're creating academic centers at Florida State, University of Florida, and Florida International University with a specific goal of nurturing Western democratic thought. According to a release, the University of Florida's Hamilton Center will educate university students in core texts and great debates of Western civilization and the great books. The center is responsible for developing curriculum and courses to satisfy the requirement for the competency in civil discourse that the law requires. Right. So this is actually, I believe, taking information right out of the law itself. Now, this law also requires Florida State University to rename and refocus its Institute for Governance to include viewpoint diversity as it develops a rigorous curriculum around the American system of government and its foundational documents. It also infuses into the Florida International University's Adam Smith Center for Study of Economic Freedom with funding to hire faculty and to develop a curriculum. In other words, Florida... The Florida legislature, signed by the governor, by the way, has passed a law that says these Florida state schools, these are state schools. These aren't private institutions. These aren't private universities. They receive state. They are state-run schools. And he's saying, we're going to require that there be at least some teaching on the on civic competency and discourse. That's a requirement of getting state funding as a university. And looking at some of the numbers, it looks like the state's actually willing to put their dollars where their mouth is. Florida State University's rebranded Institute for Governance is going to receive $8 million. The Florida International University's Adam Smith Center is going to receive $5 million. And the University of Florida's Hamilton Center, they're going to get $30 million. If I do the math, that's $43 million of Florida taxpayer money that's going to be used to make sure that these universities, these colleges, are actually teaching, well, civics. Now, again, those are words. Don't get me wrong. These are actions by the state legislature to put money into a better civics curriculum. But right now, what's being generated by the university is just words. These are the promises we're going to make. Let's take a look at what these curricula actually look like once they're developed. Are they going to teach the basics of civic literacy, the basics of the Constitution, the Declaration, the rule of law, the way our country was designed? Or are they simply going to take this money, retool some things, rename some things, and just put out more socialist garbage? We don't know yet. We know what the law says. Let's see what the law actually does. So there's a little bit of good news here, right? Florida's putting some money where their mouth is. Let's make sure they follow through and that we get an outcome that matches their rhetoric. And if they do, well, good on Florida. Good on the legislators of Florida. Good on the people of Florida for choosing legislators that prioritize making sure that students in Florida have a chance at a civic education, at least if they go to these state-funded schools. Hopefully, we'll see more of it in the other public schools as well, the primary and secondary schools. I'd love to see that as well. So let's go back to the original question, the premise here. We will know them by their fruit, not by the rhetoric, not by what people say, but by what they actually do, by the actual outcomes of their policies. And I've just picked a handful of current events related to this. There's so much more. We could get into the war on poverty, the war on drugs, all of these policy movements, and ask, do they make things better or do they make things worse? But as I said, we've entered the election season. You know, I remember when the election season basically ran for the last few months of the year before the election. Now it seems the election season starts the moment the previous election finishes. But we've got people running for nominations to the Democratic nomination for president, the Republican nomination for president. I ought to spend a whole program just on that whole primary nonsense. The whole primary premise is damaging. It's bad fruit, but that's how I'm here to talk about today. What I want you to do is look at, there are a lot of people that are going to spend the next 12, 18 months begging for your vote. Look at their fruit. Don't simply ask them to tell you. Too often it's like, tell me what you're going to do. Make the promise, which lasts, you know how long a political promise is, a candidate's promise. It lasts until they get in office. Same reason we have, how can you tell when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. We'll realize that when our elected representatives lie, that's bad fruit. That's rotten fruit. And why do we continue to live with it? When media outlets, our sources of information, lie to us, manipulate us, that's bad fruit. Why do we continue to listen to them? When organizations claim that they're doing these things for these wonderful purposes, but what they're actually doing is racist, why do we continue to put up with that bad fruit? The only way it changes in my mind is when the American people stop settling for rotten fruit, for rotten outcomes. When they look at the people that we hire to represent us, if they don't do what they said they were going to do, if they don't follow the Constitution, if they don't fulfill that oath, you're not qualified for office. And fire them. Refuse to vote for them. If you think someone's been in office too long, refuse to vote for them. If you're listening to media that is lying to you, refuse to listen to them. Refuse the clicks. Refuse to watch. Refuse to listen. We have that responsibility. Now, you can't change the whole world, but it makes a tremendous difference in your own life when you do this for yourself. And that's what I recommend. Worry less about what everybody else is doing. Focus on what you could be doing to make sure that the fruit you're eating and the fruit you're presenting to everyone else is good, fresh, tasty fruit. Now, I hope you'll come back and get what I hope you find is good fruit right here at the Constitution Study, heard every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Now, if you can't listen then, all the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. You can listen with your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor. Subscribe to the show. Leave us a rating and review. It helps other people find the Constitution Study. The more subscriptions we have, the higher we're going to rise in the ratings. The better ratings and reviews we get, the more likely people who find us are going to listen to us. And that's something that you can do and you can help. And you can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutLoud.com. But as with everything else, I ask you to share this information. It's more than just sharing a news program or a little bit of entertainment. It's truly sharing information that others can use. It's sharing fruit that I hope is fresh and ripe and tasty. It's also how you help share the blessings of liberty.